if I just say one word, Rick, that kind of sets off where we need to go with this. So I'm going to throw that word out to you, and that is wildfires.
Right. And my one word answer will be unsure.
Unsure. All right. So let's go with what we know has been happening. And that is many regions of California are experiencing some influence of either fire or smoky, hazy air. And it comes at a really delicate time.
Yeah, it does. Let's go back almost a year ago to October last year. And one of the things that a lot of folks said was as central as those fires were to Napa and Sonoma wine country, when people were saying there was two good things about that, if they were good, one was that a lot of grapes were already off the vine, and the grapes that were on the vine were thick-skinned and had already gone through everything, so they were picking up less of the atmospherics.
Right, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Right now, most of the grapes go through what's called veraison. That's when the grapes change colors. So, you know, the red grapes are green until late July, mid-August or so, depending on the grape or the variety. And right now, pretty much everybody, all those little guys and girls out there on the vines are going through veraison or just finished. So they're very susceptible right now. So having said that, the problem, well, the uncertainty, I should say, is that, you know, you look at Napa and Sonoma, it's a lot like here in Sacramento, you know, with that exception of a day here and a day there, we don't see ash. There's just this high smoke that really wouldn't affect the grapes. So for Napa, Sonoma, our friends in the foothills, Lodi, foothills might be getting more of it because they're up higher and they're more into it. But it's just so hard to know right now. You know, the guess is still, you know, fingers crossed the impacts will be minimal on the vintage in terms of, you know, smoke taint. I mean, if there's a tiny, tiny bit in the grapes that comes out. And the thing is, you know, there's a tiny, tiny bit in the grapes. It may be no problem at all. The problem with smoke taint, and once again, remember this from last year, is it's not really something you can test for right off the bat. And it's not something you can taste right off the bat. So often winemakers are in there and they're tasting, you know, they're chewing the grapes, tasting the grapes, and then they're tasting their early wines even before they're finished, and then they're tasting when they go in a barrel, and they taste them through the process. I mean, they taste constantly, and they can't tell. But maybe a year later, it starts to show up.
That's if the air is smoky.
If the air continues to be smoky, yeah.
You just mentioned ash. Is the effect different if
there's ash? Well, ash is worse. The thickness of the ash just makes it that much more worse because that stuff is going to land on the grapes and the grapes are going to absorb some of it. And the ash is also, it's your marker of how bad the smoke is. Less ash means probably less dense smoke, which probably means less atmospheric. So ash, you know, as we saw here a weekend ago when it was seemed to last the entire weekend, that was a really bad weekend.
It seems to me that at some point in talking about wildfires and the impact, you also said, then that becomes the flavor of that vintage.
Well, so this is the fun, weird, bizarre, sort of charming thing about wine, right? So on the one hand, now there are ways to deal with it. You know, they can remove some of it. We talk about this notion of terroir, which is nobody's really ever quite defined it, but it's like the place, the people, the time, right? They're going to taste like 2018. And if it's not horrible, so okay, you have this layer of smokiness that says this was 2018. If it's there, I don't want to condemn the vintage yet. Just like 2017, we really don't know yet. I mean, most of those wines, the wines that were out in the fields in 2017 during the wildfires, those stuff, we're not going to see those for another 6 to 12 to 18 months.
So we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. And the reason is because those were the big reds, and those reds age for a while. So They're generally, you know, 18 months before we see them. So we won't know yet.
Out of curiosity, do you happen to know the chemistry of removing smoke taint?
There's two ways that they can get stuff out of wine. One is reverse osmosis.
Okay.
It can remove certain things from the wine. They don't drop a sponge into it, but there's ways to do it. The other is they spin it. It separates the pieces. Mm. It's one way sometimes they can lower the alcohol level in a wine. You know, it's these giant centrifuge things that take wines apart. Now, clearly, a 1,500 case winery up in Amador County is not going to do either of those things.
Right.
we're talking really about the big commercial wineries. There are some big wineries that can afford to go take it to the labs. It's not like the world's most expensive thing. You know, you sort of do that when you're selling wine on a commercial basis. In a way, a lot of the wines that we buy every day, our Tuesday night wines and the supermarkets and the wines, the labels that we know that we've been drinking forever, because they make their wine to be consistent. And so they'll probably mess with it if they need to, and we might not even notice.
One more wildfire-related question specific to a region, the Mendocino Complex fire.
Yes, yes.
And there are reports of vineyards that have been lost there. And it's such a region of microclimates and specialty growing and producing of wines. What do you know about that region in particular?
Well, where that is, that's—so the Mendocino County wine region, it's also, you know, pushed well into the Lake County wine region, too. So Lake County, the southern Lake County is where a lot of the grape growing is, and that tends to be Cabernet and big reds, and that area is less affected. Mendocino County, that's up in the north of the central part of Mendocino County, right up Highway 101, you know, Hopland and that area there, and all the way up to Ukiah.
Right.
That stretch is, it's a slightly warmer region. It grows, you know, a range of wines. A lot of times we think of Mendocino County wines as Pinot Noir, and that's Anderson Valley, and that's way to the coast. So this area here is those reds, medium reds, big reds, everything in between. You know, they grow a lot of different kinds of stuff. You get a lot of Zin up there, a lot of Syrah, and this is one of those cases where we just don't know. I mean, one of the things that we know this from the Napa and Sonoma fires, is that vineyards are fire resistant. They're large, relatively damp green swaths. Some vineyards have gotten some damage and some wineries have gotten damage. So the report I saw just the other day was there was no serious winery damage up in that area, and partly just because of where they were, and partly because the firefighters are protecting so much, you know. So the impact, it will be that region in particular, but we just don't know.
I'm talking with wine expert Rick Cushman, and this is this month's Cushman by the Bottle, which has on one hand the danger and the concern of everybody and the loss related to the wildfires.
Right.
On the other hand, we're in peak vacation season, and people have time off with their families, and they're barbecuing, and they're getting together with friends and family. So we have to talk a little bit about barbecuing, grilling, too.
Well, yeah, you have to continue to live your lives, for starters, and second, it is summer. Last month, we actually talked a little bit about some wines for summer.
Right.
There was one that we didn't talk about, which is actually, when you come right down to it, my favorite wine for your barbecue, which is Malbec.
Oh, really?
I love Malbec, especially from Argentina.
Okay.
It does something different in Argentina. Argentina's vineyards are like really cool. First off, they're up really high. They're in this high desert, and they're up against the Andes, almost at Lake Tahoe level, and they go up even higher. So they get really intense sun. And they have a long growing day, but because they're so high, they cool down at night, you know, because all of the air escapes into the thin atmosphere. And also because these cold winds come down from the mountains and sort of bathe them and cool them. And so what you end up is these really intense grape flavors, you know, big, dark flavors and notes of spice. And it has a body to it that's sort of both big and silky. Sort of like, think of like a really rich Pinot Noir sort of blended with a cab. And they're just perfect for what you put on fire-grilled anything. And in Argentina, they have a saying called Malbec and meat.
Okay.
And what that comes from, it comes from what is, you know, one of their national sports, as I call it, is something called asado, which is grilling over open fires or wood fires.
Mm.
And it goes back to their history. And that's one of the, you know, I always do this thing. I love that wine connects to history and the the societies that are around it. But in Argentina, you know, the gauchos, they're raising cattle, though now a lot of that area is vineyards, in the central parts of Argentina. And they're, you know, and the cattle roundup at the end of the day was they would just cook these giant grills for all of the guys that were there done, and then most of them were guys, and come in and have this huge, what amounted to a huge barbecue. So it's become this sort of the social thing, and it's if you have a party or if you have a big bash, you do this asado where you build a wood fire and you throw the meat on, and they throw every kind of meat. And chicken and you know, poultry, and they don't have a lot of fish in the middle of the country, so probably not a lot of that. But and Malbec goes with all of it, and it picks up that smokiness, and it picks up the richness, and it just makes you want, if you have a sip of it, makes you want to have a barbecue. But as one of my friends from Argentina says, it's also a really great wine for standing around while you're barbecuing.
Well, the reality is that in some areas there is not much open fire grilling anymore.
That's true. Well,
in
yeah.
California.
You can use your gas range.
Yeah, you can use your gas range or go to a restaurant where there is grilling. But just trying a Malbec with grilled meat in the summer, if you haven't done it before, is what you're saying.
One of the things that we have seen with, you know, lots of research about Malbec is that people forget about it, you know, because it's not one of the main wines in the supermarket or on a wine list. One of the reasons is a lot of places they stick it in the import section.
Oh.
You know, so if you go in there and you see like these Italian Pinot Grigios and wines you never heard of and stuff like that, and then there's Malbec from Argentina. So wander over to your friendly neighborhood supermarket and look in the international wine section, and you'll see some Malbecs. And the prices are great too. It's actually a less expensive wine in part just because it's sort of always had that. But it's a great wine, great value.
All right. Thanks for the conversation. Stay safe.
Yes, everyone. You too.